The following is offered by Discerning Hearts, a 501c3 nonprofit Catholic apostolate dedicated to spiritual formation through the use of new media. To download this selection, or to browse hundreds of other programs, or to contribute to our mission with a charitable donation which is fully tax deductible, visit our website at discerninghearts.com.
Welcome to Among Women. I'm your host, Pat Gohn. Among Women celebrates the beauty and grace that women experience in their Catholic faith and life. Together, we reflect on the wisdom of Catholic women as we dare to respond to Christ and the call to holiness. These are the stories of women by women. It's faith sharing, teaching, and conversation that delights in our feminine genius and the sisterhood we have in Christ in a special way when we gather among women. Coming to you from our humble studio located down a country lane in New England, it's a pleasure to welcome back to Among Women Jamie Stewart Wolfe, who is a personal friend in real life, but we actually live and work in the same diocese, but we rarely see each other.
This is so
because
true.
We have such busy lives. But let me just tell you a little bit about Jamie. She's a wife and a mother of 8 children. She's a disciple of the spirituality of St. Francis de Sales. She's the author of a few books, but her most recent is Adoption, Room for One More. She's a speaker, a musician, and she serves as acquisitions editor at our Sunday Visitor. She and I share a love for the Word of God and the Word on the page. Jamie, welcome back to Among Women.
Well, it's great to be back, Pat, and it's nice to see you. Not see you, see you.
Definitely good to be together. The reason I called Jamie into the studio today was so that we could talk about an article she wrote in The Pilot, which is the Catholic newspaper for the Archdiocese of Boston. Jamie's been writing this article, this column for, what is it, like over 20 years now, Jamie?
It is, and that's a little scary, but yes, that's actually true.
It's amazing, actually, that to find a columnist who has that type of longevity in a paper or a magazine. So I commend you on it because I have been reading you for 20 years. And that's basically what it is, Jamie. I think Jamie has a lot going on in a lot of the different articles that she writes. But one in particular really caught my attention. And the title of it was Uncomfortable. Jamie, I'd like to let you maybe give us a little outline on what you're trying to get at, you know, in this article. And I'd like to read a little excerpt from it after you do. The reason we're here today to talk together about this particular article is I think you put your finger on the pulse of what's happening in, like, the Catholic blogosphere and in different Catholic media, where certain Catholics are kind of beaten up on other Catholics or other Christians about the way evangelization may be taking place through different media. And I think you and I both love media and love the printed word and all kinds of media that we can use, you know, for God's glory. I'm really interested in what you have to say about this particular subject of what's been going on about criticism of different Catholics and others who are criticizing the use of books and media that may not be produced from an exact Catholic source, but is kind of giving a message to about Christianity. So just go for it. Let us know what kind of the overview of your article.
Thanks, Pat. I think the overview is, you say, beaten up on it, and that's really kind of it. I guess I'm finally at the point where I'm willing to say something about the bullying that I sometimes see within the church and between churches or between ecclesial communities but at any rate, and it's not just a kind of an outward view saying, hey guys, you know, hey children, play nice. It's also a, am I playing nice? You know, are there instances in which, you know, we'll put it this way, we don't need the Roman Empire anymore to throw us into the Colosseum. We're doing that to each other sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we're like the wild beast and consuming each other. because what we're doing doesn't strike our fancy or meet our preferences or follow the exact theological vision or range that we're comfortable with, or that we are we don't like the style, or we don't like the production values, or we don't like the whatever it is, and we find everything to criticize one another about. And simply, you know, who is going to go out with the message of Jesus Christ? Who is going to go out and have a conversation or start a conversation or really just fulfill the mission of the church, which is to spread the gospel, if every time you try to do it, you've got the rest of the church or elements within the church kind of beating up on you, you know? Yeah. And you've got to, your focus can no longer be the mission. I think it's a real distraction. It's got to be, you know, how you're doing it. And yeah, those things are important decisions, but I know that things that don't reach me are going to reach somebody else. Right. And I know that things that I do will reach some and not others. And that's okay, because God's going to use me to reach, you know, Mary Ann, but God's not going to use me to reach Tom. Mm-hmm. Or God's going to use me to reach people who, you know, are comfortable with a certain level of mess in their lives. Or he's going to not use me to reach people who are, you know, very disciplined and go about their spiritual lives in a very calm way. I'm not that person. Yeah.
So I'd like to just read a little portion of this article, and naturally I'm going to link the article in our show notes for this show so people can read the whole thing. I would like to just start by quoting you, if you don't mind, and
sure.
Just ask our listeners to be patient with me as I read this, because this really resonated with me as I read it. You write, "Today, there is a significant contingent of well-intentioned Christian disciples who can't seem to avoid making judgments about how other well-intentioned disciples of Christ reach out to the world with the gospel. It seems that while most of us are happy to accept divine initiatives in our own lives, we find it difficult to accept that God might just reach out to others in ways that make us uncomfortable, even in ways we might find, quote-unquote, scandalous. That is not to excuse wrong-headed and misguided methods of evangelism, but the times, places, and ways we use to reach out to people who don't and won't come to us need to multiply and fast." You go on to say, "I don't particularly like rock or pop music, nor am I a fan of an entertainment model of worship, but I know that God will do for others what he has done for me. He will speak to them in a language they understand and are ready to hear. So turn it up and bring it on. Theology on top? Sure. Who says a conversation about God can't be accompanied by a cold beer or a glass of wine? Novels? Why not? Movies? Yes. When it comes to books and plays and films, however, let's get something straight. Stories meant to reach out will often feel like fluff, quote-unquote fluff, to seasoned disciples. They might even seem, quote-unquote, misleading or, quote-unquote, theologically incorrect. When they do, I'd suggest that serious Catholics and Christians take a deep breath and a long view. Realize that inside baseball doesn't help anyone in the stands and doesn't attract any new fans to the game. It just makes the sport unappealing and easier to dismiss." And then you talk about one specific case history here, which, like I said, caught my attention. Take the current inside controversy surrounding the movie The Shack, for example. Nobody goes to a movie theater for theology, nor should they. But even fewer people will go to a movie theater for a preachy, overtly religious, spiritually agendized, I guess you mean with a spiritual agenda, spiritually agendized movie designed to make people who struggle with faith feel guilty. Movies aren't sumas. They are stories with characters that are meant to be relatable. If the only character we think we can or should relate to are saints and mystics, we are probably kidding ourselves. We are definitely making faith in Christ less accessible than Jesus ever intended. My advice is to see the shack with someone in your family or circle of friends who doesn't go to church on a regular basis. Then have a conversation in which you do more listening than talking. And you go on and conclude that Jesus used, a lot of different methods to preach the gospel. Certainly we should be using the kinds of methods that Jesus did.
Yeah, and actually this also may hint at something, another kind of aligned issue here, which is if we don't have people in our families or circle of friends who don't regularly go to church, we're living a little bit of a reclusive life. And maybe that's part of the issue here too, is that, we can't imagine, I just go back to where you were someday when you didn't really fully believe and you weren't 100% all in committed to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And think about what movies you would have looked at and watched or books you might have read. You may not have read something, that was a tome on, theology of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Not then. Maybe you read that now. That's great.
Right.
That's progress. But remember what it was like. And I guess what, we're called to use not only the methods that Jesus used, and we don't use all of them on a regular basis, but, where St. Paul goes even further, and he says, be all things to all people.
Right, right.
So how are we to be all things to all people if we're kind of taxing one another, really, with this litmus test of, well, is it Catholic enough?
Yeah, amen.
Is it Catholic enough?
Yes, yes.
I mean, I'm not Catholic enough. If I were, I'd be a walking saint. And you would know that. And everyone
amen.
Would know that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I wouldn't think of myself that way. Actually, I'd see myself as the first among sinners, right? That's mm-hmm. that's the irony of it all. Mother Teresa did not consider herself a saint, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The rest of us did. It was pretty obvious.
Sure.
But at the same time, what did she do? She said, go in, if you want to evangelize, go into somebody's house and clean it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like what you write in this piece because especially in social media, I just see a lot of this Catholics in particular, like standing around in a circle and shooting at each other.
It's a circular firing squad and we all end up dead and nobody
yes.
ends up sent.
Yes, and it's totally opposite of what our mission should be in terms of going out to the world. And I think also it touches on this idea that different types of media reach people at different parts of their journey. This was a point I believe you made earlier in our conversation. But I just want to, if I could structure it just a little bit for Catholics who may be feeling like, well, what do I do now? Well, sometimes it's good to quantify certain materials, whether they're media, movies, books, whatever. Some things are really good to prepare the soil for the seed.
Exactly.
Some things are real. Some books, some movies, other tools are really good to kind of break up the soil, to prepare it. It kind of like a pre-evangelization type of preparation.
We often make that pre-evangelization stage shorter than it really is.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make it shorter than it really is because we want to get to the business. but the reality
yes.
is that the relationship is the business. And our friendship with people and our ongoing living with people and helping people and being available to people and admitting when we're wrong and modeling the behavior we hope others will, the commitments we hope others will take up, that's everything.
That's right.
We do a rotten job of, quote, pre-evangelization. We're never going to get to effective evangelization.
That's right. That's right. And the only other point I was going to make with regard to this is that there are some other tools, whether it's video, audio, just even the way we converse, is really evangelization. It's really kind of, the first preaching of the gospel. And then catechesis happens after that.
Yeah.
Catechesis is to build people up who already want to be disciples.
Yeah.
Often we want to start with catechesis. We want to throw the catechism at somebody who's not even really in a relationship with Christ yet, or
yeah,
still in that formative stage.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I mean, imagine riding on a train and sitting next to somebody for a while, and you're on a long train ride, and, you know, eventually you end up having some kind of a conversation. Mm-hmm. And imagine if the person sitting next to you, you know, you don't know anything about that person's background, you know nothing about what his commitments are or anything, but, you know, they seem they're on their way to visit family somewhere, and you're there, and you lead with, so what do you think about you know, the fourth proof of God in the Summa?
Yeah. Or
what do you think about the Holy Trinity? Yeah, I mean, are you a Scotist, you know, or not? Do you believe that the incarnation would have happened anyway, or do you think it's only about salvation?
Right.
Really?
Exactly.
What kind of a relationship is that? That to me is somebody. I'd like to say to that person, good, well intentioned, but get out of your own head.
Right.
Get out of your own head, and actually be present to the person next to you. Mm-hmm. And maybe something like, oh, are you happy to see the family? Your family means a lot to you, I see. Mm-hmm. You know, make some observations, right, and share what's common first, right, rather than what is going to differentiate the disciple.
Right.
And you may find that some of the people you're talking to actually have a deeper commitment or a more intentional way of living their lives than you suspected to begin with. That's
right.
One thing. You may have misjudged. The other thing is, I don't know about you, but my grandmother, she recently died. She was 102 years old. She was filled with wisdom. And one of the things she always said was, you know, there's always something you can learn from another person.
Mm-hmm.
So you go about, you know, you don't go about life as if you are the master. You go about life as if you're the student.
Mm-hmm.
And you meet every person as a teacher.
Right.
Let that person teach you something, and they will. Sometimes you won't want to hear it, or you won't understand it, and you'll scratch
right.
your head for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah,
you know,
said.
That's
yeah.
okay, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But you know, I mean, I look at this sometimes the way I would look at, if forget about the gospel, if somebody was very excited about physics,
mm-hmm.
and I have a child.
I don't know anybody. Like,
yeah, I actually do have a child who's very excited about
praise
physics.
Praise God, because we need physicists. Good.
We do, but the conversations I have with him are ones I will never remember. Well, the content. I'll remember the conversation, but I
yes.
won't remember the content because I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I see about him is his passion for physics.
Amen. Yeah.
And that makes me maybe a little willing to read something very elementary or very easy or ask him a question. You know, I mean, otherwise I'm saying, you know, I can live my life without physics. That's actually not the truth. We're all living our lives with physics. But do I want to commit to physics? Do I want to know more about physics? Do I want to grow in my relationship with physics? Not unless he shows me he's passionate about it. And then maybe I might ask myself, oh, well, maybe I should be passionate about physics.
Sure. I know I'm married to someone who's an engineer by trade. And there have been many conversations in the course of our years together where I've listened and asked questions as intelligently as I can to engage the material. But like you said, I develop more of an appreciation for my husband and his ability to problem solve on a level that I cannot, that I see that God uses his gifts to bring forth good things in the world. Well, like I develop an appreciation
exactly.
for his ability
and
to solve problems.
But how can we actually evangelize someone we don't appreciate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think really this call to love and this call to charity, to let charity lead us before we try to make a stinging remark or a criticism of what others may be doing on behalf of the mission of the church, if you will. I think we should be looking at ourselves, and we alluded to this when we started our conversation, this idea of like, where does God have me and what am I doing? Like, I have a very specific garden that the Lord wants me to grow. My
sphere
of influence has certain details that I've got to kind of keep my eyes on my own paper, so to speak. I can't be worried about criticizing what somebody else is doing in movie land or in television land or whatever. God has given me a specific role to do. And I can appreciate the gifts in those other areas and love those efforts.
And ask questions if I don't understand. I mean, I guess that's where I'm at, too.
Yeah.
You know, before I say, you shouldn't be doing X, Y, or Z.
Right.
Why don't I ask, why are you doing X, Y, or Z? Help me understand.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Again, it's approaching, you know, it's approaching others and God's work in their lives, because God is very active. He doesn't just work in my life.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God he's like active as he is.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
Yeah, and I loved your comment in the article that inside baseball is not helping others. A lot of times when I try to give talks, whether it's in a church setting or a ministry setting, I try to worry about the language that I'm using. Like if I'm using like Catholic jargon or not. Or if I'm using a specific word to describe something, I might have to define it. Say, when I talk about the incarnation, this is what I mean. Like, that's inside baseball to
right.
Somebody
who
doesn't
know what that means. Right, like, why do we use salvific instead of saving? Why do we do that? Why do we say collation instead of reception? Why do we do that? It's actually off-putting and alienating to a lot of people.
Right. Right.
Because it makes us sound like we are actually speaking a different language. Now, in fact, we do, in a way, speak a different language.
Sure.
And it's a language that needs to be handed on. But you don't kind of throw people. It's not evangelization is really not best done in an immersion kind of language school. You know, throw right. somebody into a church culture and then find out.
Sure.
Whether they sink or swim.
I mean, we have a whole liturgical language that we Catholics speak that is
liturgical,
inside,
symbolic.
Right, that's inside baseball for other Catholics. But to introduce other people to the faith, it may be like very mystifying and confusing. And
right, so, and in actuality, like when we put a you know a parish program together for First Communion or Confirmation, are we actually putting in sit, stand, kneel? In that program, are we actually putting in the prayers that we expect, you know, Catholics who go to church every week would already, you know by heart and be able to say? Because if we're not, we're actually missing an opportunity to reach those people
yes.
who may not be weekly communicants.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I understand. I understand. And also, you know, in those liturgical situations, just having the complete worship service available. You know how many years we've been using the new translation for the parts of
yeah.
the liturgy, and I am still having to flip open my missalette to pray the Gloria because, I don't know, after, you know, 50 some odd years of praying it the other way, it's just stuck in my brain. Like every time I go to pray the Gloria, I have to open the book because I keep
exactly.
jumping over a line or something like that. And to
yep.
feel disoriented in the liturgy that I've known for so long, I realize that I have to have patience for myself. And I open that missalette so that I can worship in union with my brothers and sisters who are praising God in that moment.
Exactly. I mean, I guess the real thing is, look, let's recognize together that we're all stumbling,
mm-hmm.
that we're all lisping. That we're all doing, you know, hopefully on a good day, we're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
And our best isn't always beautiful, isn't always holy, isn't always excellent, or all the other things that St. Paul tells us to keep our, to fill our hearts with.
Right,
but
right.
But we're what we've got. And we're the same mercy and gentleness that we're called to show one another, we're also called to show to ourselves. And when we mess up, just say it. God knows what to do with sins and messes. He's mercy incarnate. He's mercy itself. So right. he knows what to do with that, even when we don't. But let's give each other the benefit of a lot of doubt. And let's ask questions rather than handing out judgments or condemnations or critiques that we think might be helpful. But in essence, just take the wind out of everybody's sails and let's encourage one another. I mean, that's, you know, let's be sons of encouragement. Let's be Barnabases, you know, where we really where we really help each other fulfill the call of God in each other's lives, and not kind of judge it against some kind of litmus test that we think is somehow going to be helpful or important or critical or crucial to the success of a venture. God will take the weakest, most awful attempt at honoring Him and make it profoundly successful and fruitful. And He will do that because He sees it from the inside out, and we're only seeing things from the outside in.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Let's talk about our friend in common, St. Francis de Sales. I love him. Oh, yeah. Call him St. Frank, because I love St. Francis of Assisi. So St. Francis is Francis to me, and Francis de Sales is St. Frank to me. How would Francis de Sales size this up? Because a lot of us who are in media and who are writers look to him as a patron of writers, mm-hmm. because he has such a wealth. He was such a prolific writer and a great preacher and teacher as well.
Yeah, and the great thing about his amount of writing that he did is that he did it in 15 minutes a day. I don't know if you're aware of that, but it's astonishing.
That's news to me.
Yeah, he did it in 15 minutes a day. He would open his day with prayers and then begin to write a few letters or work on his treatise on the love of God, or the Introduction to the Devout Life, and his books, and he would do that for 15 minutes and then he would stop. And so what he did was he lived his vocation as a diocesan bishop, right?
Sure.
And with all the duties that involved, and still participated in using the media outlets of his day to win souls, to reach souls. And I guess Francis would look at it this way. I think he'd look at it this way. Obey the call of God in your own life, and don't worry about how others are doing so. Obey the call of God in your own life. Figure it out, discern it, pray over it, and live it out day by day, walk by walk, 15 minutes at a time. And then just allow others the freedom, because really, we're saved for freedom. We're saved for, our Catholic doesn't mean, one way. Catholic means many ways. That the playing field is much longer and broader than we think. Now, does it have boundaries? Of course it does. Are there things out of bounds? Yes, there are. Are there goalposts at the ends? Yes, there are. Thank God. But to just live your life the way God is asking of you and according to your state of life. If you're married, if you're single, if you're raising children, if you're not, if you're ill, if you're struggling, whatever it is, according to your state of life, live out your vocation. And that's where your holiness is going to be. But don't judge somebody else's holiness. Just don't do it. Don't go there. Don't say you're not serving the church or you could do this better. But just keep the focus in those things on yourself, on am I obeying the will of God? And, today, just today, am I obeying the will of God? I usually try to start with a prayer that's kind of inspired by Salesian spirituality. For me, it goes something like this. God, give me the grace today to do your will. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else.
I get it. I get it.
Nothing Beautiful. More, nothing less, and nothing else.
Yeah.
But for me, that's one thing. For you, that's another.
Right.
And, I don't want to, it's not relativism, okay? It's not spiritual relativism. It's that communion of saints with a variety. It's a garden of flowers. It's a garden of flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. And the body of Christ has a lot of different ways to operate. And we have to be wise in our discernment in terms of the types of media we consume and the types of media we allow our children to consume and things like that. Those of us who are parents over young minds and hearts that still need to be formed in Christ. But let's extend charity to those people who are in the Catholic and Christian media outlets.
Years ago, there was a great controversy over Harry Potter and who should read Harry Potter and who shouldn't read Harry Potter and mm-hmm. Catholicism and Harry Potter. And the great variety of responses to that are actually pretty instructive. Mm-hmm. For some families, that was not appropriate. They determined that kind of literature, as well-written as it might have been, was not appropriate for their children. God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
Others wrote books about, you know, Catholic imagery in Harry Potter. So,
sure. I mean, at SQPN, there was a very, very popular podcast, The Secrets of Harry Potter, where a priest and a professor of English and several other panelists would regularly unpack chapter to chapter what's going on. And, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, like looking at the whole piece.
Right.
So I understand what you're saying. And I think in all things charity, I think is my takeaway here.
Well, that's certainly one thing. And realize that whatever you do for the sake of the kingdom, there's going to be a bank of critics. That's okay. Just pray for them.
Yeah.
And if you feel moved to criticize, maybe the way to do that in the most constructive way is A, not publicly, you know, mm-hmm. try to reach out privately. There are things like direct messages, you know,
sure,
or even picking up a phone or saying, you know, I'd like to ask you about something,
sure,
whoever online, and just take that position of a student. And let's learn from one another and let's stumble together toward the kingdom.
Sure.
And let's let God be God. You know, discernment, yes. Judgment, no. And discernment is always about, am I called to this? I can't judge somebody else's call. I can't discern it either.
Sure.
So, you know.
Sure. And Lord, where are you leading me in this?
Exactly.
If this is disturbing me, Let me bring that disturbance to you, Lord. And why is this disturbing me? And,
right.
And what are my motives?
Right, because I might be open to the possibility someday that, you know, that I'm the reason it's disturbing me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were certainly a handful of Pharisees who needed to figure that out. You know, why is this Jesus healing on the Sabbath? You know, what's that about? And they were good people. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to blacklist the Pharisees, but they were good, honest, intentional disciples in Judaism. That's who they were, mm-hmm. and most of them. So that's we want to be careful. We want to be careful, and we want to be charitable, and we want to allow God to work in all the ways He can work. And there's always more. There's always at least one more than what we can think of.
Good point. Very good point. Jamie Stewart Wolf. Boy, oh boy, did we cover a lot of ground. Thank you so much for your time and for what you continue to produce as a writer. Tell those listening about what you do in the ministry world. If people wanted to hear you speak or the ministry that you do outside of your day job with OSB.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm with our Sunday Visitor as an acquisitions editor. So if you're a wonderful author, give me a ring. That's a great thing. There may be a book in your future. I do a ministry of speaking and music, of inspirational music. I usually combine the two because I find that things work differently when you sing along, you know, or if you hear something and you have a chance to kind of silently meditate on it and kind of soak it in a little bit more with music. You can reach me at loavesandfishesministry.net.
Great. We'll leave all of your points of contact in our show notes for this episode of Among Women. Jamie, always good to be with you. God bless you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. As you've come to expect here at Among Women, we have show notes at our episode page for Among Women, and we will share links to Jamie's books and to Jamie's ministry, and also her contact information for you if you happen to be a writer and you want to talk to an acquisitions editor. I'm really interested in also sharing the link for that article, Uncomfortable, that was the basis for our discussion. I hope that you'll read it and you'll just think about it and pray about it in terms of how you will respond to others in the Catholic blogosphere or through social media or in other conversations that you might have with people. You know, I found it challenging and it also resonated deeply with me, and that's the reason I wanted to share it with you today. I just want to wish you a joyous Easter season for you and your loved ones. Thank you for making Among Women part of your day today, And I'll look forward to our next couple of shows. We'll be talking about All In together. And I'm hoping you'll just take a moment now and we can just conclude in prayer together. We remember she who is blessed among women, Mary, who is the patron of this podcast. We just ask her to wrap us in her mantle today and help us to come to Jesus in a new way as we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a production of Behold Communications. Find us on the web at www.beholdcommunications.com.